Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into a little bit of the content from the book. And I'm trying to give you some actionable advice here in terms of looking at players and profiles that might be sell candidates, right? And especially depending on what you're trying to capture, right? So this is a specific look at value. And so one of the things I looked at in the book is, you'll have to forgive me, it is around page 39. I don't have an up-to-date copy of it printed out. I had the draft and I just kept the draft. And so it's around page 39 or so. But there's a chart, it's a value rebound rate in year three. Basically what that indicates is who from year one had a drop in ADP for year two. And then basically after year two, rebounded back above their rookie ADP, right? So basically who went, you know, from level to below level to back above level, right? To basically, you know, who rebounded for that particular price. I'm going to look specifically at wide receivers in this one. So historically, buying rebound candidates is, and I want to look at this a little bit more. Some of the work from this book has actually caused me to think about it in some additional ways. So I'm actually excited for it, and I want to sort of see what some of the stuff signals maybe for us as well. But 29% of first round wide receivers who have a drop in value, right? Who have a drop in value in year two. Rebound, right? So about three out of 10 will basically go from level to below level to back above level, right? And so thinking about those potential profiles is key, right? And thinking about, which guys in that range, you know, might see an uptick in value, but realize that, hey, listen, the odds that these guys get back to, you know, get back to par, right? Get back to rookie par, we'll call it, is not great, right? 7 out of 10 of them don't do that in year three. So year two is a big year for them, but the odds that they get back there and reclaim that, tough. So the guys that haven't, and I'm just looking at the guys who, Lamb is fine. He's well above it. His ADP, I only have, so I use start one ADP for this because that's the historical data that I have. So his ADP last year, according to Start One ADP from the offseason, was 41. Judy was 46. Rager was 62, almost 63. Justin Jefferson was 72. Ruggs was 74. And Brandon Ayuk was, 107. So the guys that are above that now, Ayuk's comfortably above 107. He's at, according to the, it takes a little bit of, I don't have the start one ADP yet, right? They haven't started collecting it yet. So I just don't have it. So I'm looking at our real draft tracker, which has, you know, basically 8 to 10 drafts right now. So it takes a little bit of conversion, right? That's super flex. So you're not comparing apples to oranges, but we can sort of make an educated guess on who's closer, who's inside the line. It's clear Ayuk's inside the line, right? So he's 3-4 rounds above where he was in ADP last year. Might even be a little bit more than that when you factor in the super flex bump. So that's clear. He's fine. Ruggs has been a pretty significant drop. So again, he's probably dropped, according to this, it's about 70 or so spots. I would roughly calculate that based on it being super flex. I'd calculate that to be, you know, maybe half that, right? So 35, maybe 40 spots, something like that. So we're looking like 3, 4, 5 rounds somewhere in that range. So that's not a good indication, right? So that's a dangerous one. Rager, he's dropped he's dropped a little bit less than Ruggs. So again, 3 to 4 rounds. So that's quite a bit of a drop. Same with Judy. So Judy's dropped about 50 spots according to this. And again, if you got to adjust for Superflex, that's probably closer to like 3 rounds, between like 2 and 3 rounds. So again, once we get some more of the data in. It's still early, and it's tough to kind of populate the data until NFL rolls over. It's one of the problems with having startup data early in the season. That's really the limitation for it. So that's really the thing there, right? Big drop for Ruggs, medium drop for Rager, and a smaller drop, but a notable drop for Jeudy. So it's going to take a lot for Ruggs to get back on terms. It's going to take quite a bit for Rager too as well. And Jeudy, you know, we'll see there. If we're looking one out of three of them, my bet would be Jeudy could retain it. And so now the question is do you take, right, if maybe Rager can see an uptick at some point, right? If you see an uptick in his value, that might be a place to potentially cash him out if you're looking to do that as sort of a stop loss type strategy. I tend to think that he's still going to be their best wide receiver. I've seen them mock to taking a wide receiver. So I still think they need a clean reset off of last year, and some new blood in that offense probably won't hurt. So in terms of coaching, right? But I will say if you can still get like a later first round rookie pick for him, it might not be a bad way to reset the clock, knowing that, hey, listen, that might not come around again, right? That's probably unlikely that you'll get that, right? If he has a big hit, right, if he has a big season, sure. But I think there's a lot of things working against Rager. So, again, I still like the profile, but if you can get a late first, or if you can include him in a trade that you feel extracts late first type of value in a package, right, that's a place that I would look. For Jeudy, I think you can go a little bit higher than that. If you want to reset the clock, I feel fine. He concerns me. All of these guys concern me. Jeudy, Rager, and Ruggs all concern me because they are not in totally stable situations. I think Carr is probably the most stable of that situation, and we're still not sure if he's going to be their starting quarterback. So, with the bullets flying this past week, we'll see, right? Keep our heads ducked on the Derek Carr shares. But and he has a tradable contract too. So, and so does Mariota. So we'll see what happens there. I think maybe one of them goes on the move, but we'll see. So again, I think Carr's the best quarterback of that. You know, is he a great fit for Ruggs? I'm not sure. Is Ruggs that good of a player? I'm not sure. So that's sort of baked into his price, right? There's a reason why his ADP was almost double what Jeudy's was, right? That's baked in terms of the skill. And now we're seeing that again. I mean, it's a 50 pick difference, and it's a 50 pick difference now, and it was about 30 or so picks in the offseason last year, right? So again, there's super flex in there. That's probably a little bit closer than, maybe it's a round difference, right? So maybe he's like 40 picks higher than him now. So that's really the thing I would look for, right? So I think if any of those guys, if you want to cash out for the price that you paid for him, right, I think that's fine. And when you sort of think about, you know, the price that you paid for him was a 53% hit rate, right? That was be the base rate for a wide receiver entering the NFL. It's now dropped to 45. So if you can get the same price, you're sort of getting ahead on your odds. Remember, it drops to 28 after this. So there's a big incentive to do it in year two. If you don't feel really confident it's going to happen in year two, right, roll it over. Right, cash it out. If you need to take a little bit of a loss on what you paid, it's sort of reflective in your base rate odds, and go ahead and do that. Right, that would be sort of the action plan of that. So for Jeudy, right, if you could reset, and the flexibility at this point's important too, right? If you can take something in the mid to later first, and you have that flexibility to move around the board to make it part of a bigger deal, that'll sort of insulate you from that risk you have with Jeudy. And it will give you more flexibility to make trades in this offseason. So all of these guys, right, if you can sort of take a hard look at them, again, I think in order of likelihood to do it, it's probably the way that they're ranked in ADP right now. Jeudy, Rager, and then Ruggs. And I would probably put Rager and Jeudy closer together. And if you told me, hey, one of them is going to be the wide receiver one for their team, much clearer road for that being Rager than Jeudy. Okay, and, you know, does he have the quarterback? You know, he could sort of go on to those questions, but that's really the thought that you need to have, and it's a level of comfort, right? What are you trying to protect? You know, I still think highly of Rager. I'd probably put him at, you know, I'd take the 45% and say, man, you know, do I want to make the bet on Wentz to bounce back? Do I want to make this bet on this new coaching staff, all these things? I could see moving off of him, right? If it's still insulated enough that you can get somewhat close to what you paid for him, which seems like within the realm of possible, it's going to be a little bit of a loss. So if you paid kind of like a mid first, it's going to come into being like a later first, right? That's kind of what your process is there. So that's really the, I think, the action plan with those. When you go down to round two, guys that basically return, that lose value in year two, and they don't rebound in year three, right? So that's a 0% rebound rate. So that's not good. So right now you got Higgins, Mims, Chenault, Pittman, Claypool, and Van Jefferson, and KJ Hamler is in here as well. So Hamler and Jefferson are the two lowest guys right now. Jefferson is about, they're both about 50 spots off their ADP from last year. So for Hamler, that's, you know, they're within shouting distance once you accumulate from the super flex stuff, right? That's maybe like three rounds off of their pace. So again, that's a danger zone, right? That they're probably not going to come back from, that is sort of the thought. And for them, it's 34% base rate. Now it's 31%, drops to 20, right? So again, you're kind of chasing, you're chasing after bad. So the falling price is probably going to hurt in the trade market, of course. But again, if you can get sort of what you paid for, right? If you can get, I don't think Van Jefferson was designed for he was around in late third and fourth, and Hamler was a little bit before that. I like the Hamler profile more than the Jefferson one. But again, with Hamler, he's kind of in a situation. What's the quarterback situation like? It's a crowded situation. You have, he finishes wide receiver 88, but that's, now he's going to have competition from Judy, from Fant, from Sutton, right? All of these guys, you're going to have this additional competition. That's just not great, right? It's not a great situation there for him. So that's really the concern that I would have between those two guys, is you're going to, it's going to be tough to get back there, right? So if you can get a third for Hamler, I'd probably, you know, I think you might be able to do that. I don't know, it might be tough. I would look to sort of shoot for that, right? See if there's a window opens up, right? If they get a new quarterback, that sort of thing. Like, that's kind of what you're looking for. With Van Jefferson, heck, if Josh Reynolds moves, like, you might get some. Van Jefferson had this, I was covering them for Football Guys. He had this big preseason Sean McVay hype session going on. So if something like that happens, and maybe it boosts his trade market, boosts some of the discussion about him. Josh Reynolds is probably going to move on. So is Gerald Everett. So that probably is going to open up what is going to appear like more opportunity for him. So that could be a situation to sell. So those would be two situations there, right? A quarterback moving for Hamler. And once the free agent stuff starts moving for Van Jefferson, those would be two areas in which I'd look to move them. All right. So Claypool's hit, so he's not really in this category. Pittman is above market value, so that's good. So is Chenault, that's good. Denzel Mims is actually a little bit off of that. So Denzel Mims, it's probably like a round or two below where he was in the startup ADP from last year. So, you know, that's a situation to keep your eyes on. If there's a quarterback change, right, if Deshaun Watson lands there, I would expect that to go to the moon in terms of his cost. But right now, again, if you can get, I don't necessarily think it's maybe going to be a late first, but if you get that early second that you kind of paid for him, I don't hate that, right? I don't hate that rolling it over. And I think that there could potentially be this year a first-round wide receiver in that early second round, like there was with Ayuk last year. There could be a quarterback in there, right? So all of those things, getting those assets, And that might even be a situation, hey, move from third to second and use MIMS, right? Move from late third up to the early second, use MIMS to do that. I don't hate that idea. I don't hate having at this point with these guys that have some of this risk profile to them, right? If they're below value, like it's not a good, it's not really where you want to be at with these guys below the rookie values. If you can get them out now, right, get run to a little bit of safety, give you more flexibility, right? And again, there's going to be more movement. Having bullets to fire that are liquid in trades makes a lot of sense right now. So that would be something, a strategic takeaway that I would do from this is to be looking at these guys. And then you have Higgins. He's well above value, so that's fine. He's going to be like a third, fourth round startup pick there. So that's pretty valuable. He's at 55 in Superflex right now. So he'll be even higher than that in start one, obviously. So those are really the guys there. And then we'll take a look quickly at the third round. So the third round, again, this is like a 16% rebound rate. So that's rebounding above your rookie draft valuation. Well, it depends on how you measure Lynn Bowden, I guess. For Bryan Edwards, he was at 111. Now he's dropped to 194. So that's really a falling. That's a big fall. Like that's one of the biggest fallers amongst these guys. Devin Duvernay is about just as big. So that's not right. That's pretty dangerous. So if someone asked me today, you know, would you take a third for Edwards? I think I probably would, just because I think he's kind of buried. It's going to be tough for him with Waller there. You know, maybe Aguilar moves on and he slides in to be the number two. I don't know. Aguilar seems to have really found a home there and was good for them. So we'll see what happens there. But that would be one situation I'd maybe monitor with him. Right, if Aguilar leaves, that might open up a situation for him to potentially vault up to be the wide receiver too. Some of the snap share stuff with him wasn't good. So, you know, so if someone was really digging the metric profile, you know, we're looking for buzz on him. If we can cash out what we paid for him, that's great. That's really good, you know, and it was late second into the third round type thing. So could you go third to second, something like that with him, reset the clock, go forward a little bit. Again, with him, you got to remember, you're looking still at a 20% hit rate. So that's essentially where he's basically essentially a year further along. You know, if you were to think about second round guys, that's about their hit rate in year three. So he's at that hit rate in year two. Right, so that's just kind of a simple, you know, rule of thumb to think about with those guys. So both of them, you know, Duvernay's going to be tough. He's going to be in the cuttable range of rosters at this point. But with Edwards, you know, if I could flip him over, I'd look to do that right now. And you know, we can like the profile, but the cost says a lot for teams. So when they fall three rounds, right, that's a pretty good indication that there's something. Outside of the profile, just information that we don't have that's concerning about him. So that would be a situation that I would look to do. I will say with Edwards, you have the benefit of the analytics community being on him, right? So one of the things I really think about when you get guys, especially rookies that have, you know, sometimes we'll see this in high standard deviation guys, right? That you just know that means that a significant portion of the community is really on him. And one of the places that really shows up is the analytics community being firmly on someone, and it sort of distorts their value a little bit. So there are sell opportunities, right? Even though he's falling in startup price, he went for Lynn Bowden in a third. He went for a second straight up. Him and Tony Pollard for Singletary in a third. That's a little bit confusing, but just to give you an idea, that's kind of what you're dealing with. Two thirds, Jalen Hurts and Bryan Edwards for AJ Dillon in a second. All of those are, you know, him and Marvin Jones for LaMichael Perine, Robbie Anderson, right? So that's all of really the recent ones with him in terms of like pick value comps. So I mean, it's still there, right? You might need to search, you might need to make a lot of offers, but I think that second, right, or maybe a little bit on top of Edwards to get into that second, would be something I would think about doing this year. And I think it would you might find buyers, right? You might have to look aggressively for them, and you might have to look at different ways to structure the deal to sort of extract that value, but I think it's probably there in the market, so. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. This is really the critical value guys heading into year two for your rookie wide receivers from 2020. So, all right. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.